You are listening to Aloud, a program of the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. Visit us at lfla.org.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. In the spirit of reconciliation, the Los Angeles Public Library recognizes and acknowledges the First Peoples of this land. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Indigenous peoples today. For more information on which territory in which you reside, visit native-land.ca. I'm Todd LaRue, Director of Special Projects for the Library Foundation.
And I'm Christina Rice, Senior Librarian of the Los Angeles Public Library Photo Collection. And we are so thrilled to welcome you here today for this showcase event featuring the work of the inaugural creators and residents of the Los Angeles Public Library, Kwasi Boyd-Bolden and River Garza.
Yeah. Christina and I have had the great pleasure of working closely with these two thoughtful and talented artists as they develop the bodies of work that we are here to celebrate and learn from today. Through the unique lens of their creative practices, they've responded ambitiously to the broad prompt of creating something inspired or informed by our public libraries.
Following today's conversation, please join us in the Thornton Courtyard, which is just adjacent to us, for a hands-on printmaking workshop led by River. And Kwasi will be handing out and signing free copies of his fabulous library zine, as well as a limited edition poster while supplies last. We'll also have copies of Kwasi's new book, Knowledge Base, that he created as part of the project available for purchase.
And if you're interested in learning more about the Library Foundation of Los Angeles and the work that we do to support the LA Public Library, as well as upcoming programs that we're producing, please stop by our membership table, which is also going to be in the courtyard following.
Thank you. Now I'd like to welcome to the stage our city librarian, John Szabo, to give a few additional words of welcome and to introduce our speakers. Thank you, John.
Good afternoon, everyone. Yay, and welcome to Central Library. We are delighted to have you all here. All of us at the library have been really looking forward to this day, this showcase of our two creators in residence, the incredible exhibit that is on the first floor of our central library. It's been a wonderful weekend at the Los Angeles Public Library. We headed into the weekend in this room, on this stage, with a graduation ceremony for the library's Career Online High School, where another group of graduates received their accredited high school diploma. Yes. It is a program that always has a lot of emotion. Adults getting their high school diploma with children, grandchildren, spouses, grandparents, all present. And to date, the library has provided 761 diplomas to 761 individuals who are all doing great things. So, yes. So I say that to say great things happen on this stage, and wonderful people come to this stage to share with Angelenos, and today is no exception, and we're really looking forward to the program. I do want to say special thanks to Christina Rice and Todd LaRue, who you just heard from, for their work and leadership of our Creators in Residence program, and really to staff throughout the Los Angeles Public Library, who've supported our two creators this year as they've visited branches and really gotten to know this amazing institution across Los Angeles. And we're just thrilled that today's event showcases the work of these two remarkable individuals, photographer Kwasi Boyd-Bolden and interdisciplinary visual artist River Tiqui Garza. They are Los Angeles Public Library's first creators in residence. And in partnership with the Library Foundation of Los Angeles, the library's new residency program is designed to engage creative Angelenos from a multitude of disciplines. And this inaugural cohort of these two artists is particularly important, and we couldn't have picked two more wonderful people. It is just a wonderful launch of a program that we know will have great value and benefit to Los Angeles and, frankly, to the library and the people that use our library for years to come. And so they've set a really high bar and a really great example as we launch this program. This program supports local creators and inspires new work that is informed or enhanced by the library's collections and services, while also highlighting the impact of the library within the community as a creative haven. And we will certainly see inspiring examples of that today. Our two inaugural residents have both created work based upon exploring the ideas of community and identity with intentionally broad guidelines to promote dialogue and maximize impact. River Tiqui Garza is an interdisciplinary visual artist of Native American, Tongva, and Mexican descent. He is a member of the Tiat Society, a group dedicated to traditional indigenous maritime culture, and his work draws inspiration from this cultural background as well as graffiti, Mexican, and lowrider culture. River created 7 large format mixed media paintings, which were inspired by specific branch libraries, as well as a zine that showcases his paintings. His work highlights the complex history and intersectionality of the Los Angeles Public Library system. Kwasi Boyd Bolden is a photographer known primarily for his photo essays of urban environments and the changing landscapes of the places that hold meaning for him and his community. In the past few years, he was honored as one of Time Magazine's top 12 African-American photographers to follow, and by the New York Times as one of their top 5 essential artists to follow. He produced a portfolio of images that focused on Central Library and one branch in each of our 6 library regions, as well as their surrounding neighborhoods and communities. He also produced a zine and a book with photographs that emphasized the library's role as an enduring and accessible knowledge base within the context of one of the most dynamic cities on Earth. The Creators in Residence program is made possible by the Library Foundation of Los Angeles through a new endowment that we're so excited to have, provided by Lenore S. and Bernard A. Greenberg Fund. The library has a long history of supporting the arts, and I regularly, when I speak about the library, refer to it as an arts institution, and we certainly are that, and as well as a workforce development institution and a local history institution and learning and all of the other wonderful things that the library does. But we do regularly on this stage, on our walls, throughout our branch libraries, in our programming, in our collections, celebrate the arts in all of its incredible forms. And in this building, with the stunning art and architecture, the public art that is in this building, it is an incredible example of that, from our stunning rotunda in the original 1926 building to the soaring 8-story atrium of the Tom Bradley wing with Thurman Statham's whimsical monumental chandeliers. We also in this building have several gallery spaces. Please explore them. They have wonderful exhibits in them. And we regularly change those exhibits, so there's always something new to see. Currently on view, and I always plug our exhibits when I'm at this podium, and I can't resist it today, on exhibit in our Getty Gallery, which is on the 2nd floor, very near the rotunda. It is an exhibit called Something in Common, and it is a really fascinating examination and celebration of the ideas, interests, and beliefs that bring us together as a community and what we can create or accomplish collectively that wouldn't otherwise be possible. And to have an exhibit that is about togetherness and belonging and what brings people together at a time when we've just and continue to come out of the pandemic is a particularly timely and very special exhibit. And Todd LaRue, who you just heard from, is the curator of that exhibit. So please check it out. Also on the 2nd floor, in another gallery space that is just adjacent to the Getty Gallery, the Annenberg Gallery, is an exhibit called Shades of LA, a Los Angeles Family Album. And the photographs in the exhibit provide a sample of the 10,000 images that the library amassed starting 30 years ago as part of the Shades of LA project, gathering photographic images that really tell the story of Los Angeles, Angelenos, the families of Los Angeles, and really represent the contemporary and historic diversity of LA. And Christina Rice, who you just heard from, curated that exhibit. So please do check that out and learn more about the Shades of LA collection. And in addition to the visual arts, the library hosts thousands of events every year, which include music and dance, dramatic programs, art workshops for all ages, creative story times for the youngest members of our community, and of course, events that center on books, as well as their authors and illustrators, which celebrate and elevate the written word, which of course is an important responsibility of your public library. Do know that this is your library, everyone is welcome here. And we are here for you 24/7 with access to stream books, music, and movies, as well as a wealth of past library events archived on our YouTube channel. No library in the United States checks out more e-books or e-audiobooks than the Los Angeles Public Library. So if you've never checked out something online, e-content from the library, please use your library card and do that. Our new Creators in Residence initiative, so wonderfully inaugurated by the creative talents of Kwasi Boy Bolden and River Garza, add a new dimension to the library's continuing support of and contribution to the arts in the City of Angels. Today's panel, featuring River and Kwasi, will be led by Kevin Awakuni, who is a librarian in our on our exploration and creativity staff, and Shirley Ash, who is the senior librarian and branch manager of our Memorial Branch Library. I'd like to thank Kevin and Shirley for their work on this event, as well as all of the staff of the library, as well as the staff of the Library Foundation, who have made possible our wonderful new Creators in Residence program. And I could not be more enthused about these two artists and the work that they have done and the stage that it sets for this Creators in Residence program that is funded and will remain in our library in perpetuity. So that is a very exciting thing to think about, and it is my pleasure to introduce our panelists, our Creators in Residence, for what I know will be a great program today. Thank you all for being here.
No pressure. All right. Thanks for being here, everybody. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Shirley Ash. I'm the senior librarian at the Memorial Branch Library.
Yeah. So, we're here to talk about these two. All right. Oh, is this mine?
Yes.
All right. It's the same. All right. River and Kwasi. Hello. Thank you. Thank you for coming here after such a terrible Dodger loss last night. Really appreciate the opportunity to get to know you two better. So for those of you, for those in the audience who may not know your work intimately, can you introduce yourself, where you come from, your interests, and your relationships with the library?
Okay. Sure. I'll start. Hello, everyone. Miha. My name is River Takvi Garza. I'm an interdisciplinary artist. I grew up in Gardena. Currently live in Simi Valley. I primarily work as a painter, do installation work, printmaking, some silversmithing as well, and traditional forms of art. And my relationship to the library really goes back to coming here with my uncle when he was working on his master's degree. He was doing research, and I came here when I was like 7 or 8. And it was just like a really fond memory that I have of exploring the library, being in downtown, and just being amazed at the many volumes of books, the resources that were available to everyone. Thank you.
Cool, yeah, nice.
Hey, my name is Kwasi Boyd Bolden. I'm a photographer, urban landscape, documentary street photographer from Los Angeles. I also do some design and illustration work. I grew up in LA, moved here from Brooklyn, New York when I was 2, lived in pretty much like the Hollywood, Koreatown, mid-city part of the city for my entire life. My relationship to the library started when I was really young, going to the June Library, the John C. Fremont, it's on June, near Melrose, when I was a little kid. And that's kind of where I grew up after school, and also, you know, tagging along with my mom throughout the many libraries that she went through on her educational journey. And I love libraries. They're free, they're awesome, and they provide a great service.
So thank you both so very much. So can you share your journey towards the kind of art that you do now? Kwasi, has it always been photography for you? And if so, how long did it take you to land on your particular style?
Interesting question. Actually, no, photography came kind of late to me. in my life. When I first got into creativity, it was kind of through skateboarding. Then it was through graffiti. And then it was through illustration in general. That was kind of my path. I did go to like Fairfax High, which was a visual arts magnet at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how I've always just been a creative person. I've always just made things. When my father passed away when I was 19, he left me a camera that I really became kind of obsessed with because it was his, and you know, I kind of thought that I was seeing things through something that he used to see the world. And that's kind of what unlocked photography for me as a more serious medium. And also at about that time, that's when gentrification and like the city was changing a lot. I mean, this was like maybe like 20 years ago. And you know, I was living in Koreatown right off of Western and Olympic. And things were changing a lot, and I just started taking pictures of things. I was working in a computer lab at a school called FITM with my boy Luis and my boy Erwin. And we all took pictures, and also Leo, another guy there worked with us named Leo, and we all just kind of took pictures and had fun, and it was great kind of doing it with them because we just took pictures of what was around us, and that's kind of how my style developed into what it is now. It's just I really just try to capture LA, yes. And in kind of a true kind of like authentic sort of way.
Okay,
oh, cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Were there any photographers that were influential when you were kind of looking into exploring that medium?
Yeah, actually, I consider myself a landscape photographer, even though I do a lot of street photography. I consider myself a landscape photographer, and one of the people that kind of drew me in was Ansel Adams, because I was like, oh, you know, that's what draws everyone in. It's like, you see Ansel Adams, you're like, that's great. Really, Jamel Shabazz is a photographer that's had a huge, huge influence and impact on my work. Just because of the way I remember coming across his work and coming across his books, and basically seeing how he depicted Brooklyn, and which ironically is, well, not really ironically, but is also where I was from. He it's exactly the Brownsville area of Brooklyn that I did not grow up in because I moved to LA. Mm-hmm. But you know, seeing how he depicted his neighborhood and how authentic and true it was and how it resonated with people was really a big inspiration on how I approach documenting neighborhoods in the city now.
Oh, cool. All right, yeah, thanks.
Thank you. So River, because you work in a mixed media, what was your artistic journey? Did you start in one medium and then incorporate other components? Or has it always been like a blending of different things?
I suppose it's been like a gradual process of getting to where I am, working across different mediums. Similar background to Kwasi, grew up skating, doing graffiti. So I think a lot of like the early creative interest and developments started there as a young person, as a teenager. But my mom is also as an artist as well. She works a lot like in traditional art forms. So grew up very much immersed in a creative household, seeing my mom work on things, really oriented towards like community-driven events, like gift giving and stuff like that. So that was a really big inspiration, seeing how she honed it on her artistic practice and how she developed it and decided to go about navigating the world as an artist was always been a big influence. But I didn't really start painting and like focusing on studio arts until I was in college. When I went to school at Cal Poly Pomona and had the fortune and privilege of making some wonderful lifelong friends that really helped nurture my creativity during that time. Like I mentioned prior to that, I was like just skating, doing graffiti, and really just making art in the streets. And had the encouragement of two really good friends, my friends Brandon Bordona and Freddie Figueroa. They're also ceramic artists. They encouraged me to start painting and trying making things on canvas. So it was through like peer-led education, like learning from my friends what they had, learning from their artistic background and kind of taking what I knew and appropriating materials that I would use in the streets, like markers, graffiti, acrylic paint. And yeah, started to hone in on my practice through there. Started making like these large collaborative group paintings, and I just found such solace in that creative mm-hmm. practice and making things. I've always like drawn and doodled and stuff like that growing up as a kid. But it was really like in college, I think I was starting to get a good sense of what I was trying to articulate mm-hmm. through visual art. So yeah, it came through that. I learned through my friends, and yeah, it's just been a gradual process of learning through other peers and teaching myself about studio art and making imagery.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I do have one question, though. So were you guys skating together and doing graffiti together? Okay. Or just... Not really.
No.
Come on,
no,
Shirley.
That would be cool, though.
Were they skating together?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
No. That would have been awesome. But
I know it would have been, wouldn't it? Yes.
Oh, and look at us. We're in Creators in Residence now.
Yeah.
But for River, I wonder if who were some of the artists that kind of you drew upon as you were starting your craft of your mixed medium? I think people might be curious about some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the early inspiration came from like the street art scene. I was looking towards artists like Shepard Fairey, Retina were like really big influences. Revoke, a lot of like graffiti dudes that kind of transitioned into the studio art realm.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
Also at the same time, like understanding and learning about the history of like indigenous artists, like native artists that work in like studio art. So like draw a lot of inspiration from Fritz Schulder, T.C. Cannon, my mom, yeah, artists within the community, Al Frank, Manriquez, Harry Fonseca, like the list goes on, but really looking towards artists that their work speaks to, I guess, like my life experience, a lot of California native artists and folks from the community, for sure.
Cool. Was that one of the experiences where you just kind of were gaining different perspectives and insights from the different art and just kind of taking it in yourself before you kind of landed on your own sort of style?
Yeah, absolutely. Been very fortunate to become friends, and a mentor of mine, his name is Jake Fragua. He's a painter from, a Pueblo artist from Jemez, New Mexico. I met him very early on in my art career and really nurtured, helped, you know, look after me and yeah. told me about, you know, this is what you should look out for. And I guess really pushed me towards that that self-taught or education, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
just,
yeah, for
just
sure.
learning about like the native art scene and what goes on and the people that are of note.
So, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of have some questions about some general reflections on the Creators in Residence program. So I guess either one who wants to start, but what did you hope to accomplish when you started out, and what did you discover now that you've completed the residency?
I'll start. My project evolved quite a bit from the time that I, thought of it. You know, initially when I was approached to do the residency, and I thought about, you know, ways I could communicate how I felt about libraries and about public space and kind of what I could put into the project, I was really focused on the library, you know, as a structure and, you know, basically like, you know, how a library can be a place of sanctuary, how it can be a place of like thought, of reflection, and of also progress. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you think of going to a library, you think of it as a singular act, but if you think about it over time, it's something that normally leads you from one place to another, whereas like, you know, if you're in college and you're studying, you eventually may get a degree or you make progress. Every time you go, you make some sort of progress. So those were kind of the thoughts that were going through my mind when I initially thought of the project. And, you know, I learned a lot about the library system as I kind of started to investigate it. And I have a thing with systems. I really like them. I kind of get, you know, I'm kind of organizational that way. It expresses myself in my other 9-to-5 life too. So I really got into that. And so, once I realized that there were 6 different regions, I was like, okay, I'll pick a library from each region. And then that's where I started, and I made arrangement with each library, you know, and went and photographed them. But after I photographed them, I also got caught up in the fact that I was driving by so many other libraries, and I wanted to find a way to kind of express that whole thing. And so, like, the main photo project of it, which became a combination of the libraries and also of the neighborhoods around the libraries, because I wanted to show the library in context. You know, because I feel like libraries are parts of neighborhoods, and so I wanted to make sure to include the neighborhood as part of my project. But then, you know, the library zine, or, you know, that I ended up coming up with also, was I really wanted to find some way to depict the whole system, because I feel like the whole system is all of these interlocking parts and things that kind of work together, and every neighborhood has its own needs, and that's kind of what I found with each of the libraries that I ended up covering, is that they all really rise and flex to meet those needs in sometimes completely different ways. And so that was kind of where my project ended up going, but it was a journey. I mean, that's totally not what I had in mind when I started, but, you know, I just rolled with it, and, like, you know, the library and the Library Foundation was really helpful in whatever, you know, I needed. I'm sure the same thing with River, too, and it just kept rolling. It was a great experience.
I have a follow-up question with that. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that, for example, the library at Washington Irving, mm-hmm. It's a new branch, and it would move from a different location. Mm-hmm. In your project, you have the old location and the new location. Mm-hmm. So what was your idea about comparing the old and the new, as it were?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. A lot of my photography, you know, outside of this project has to do with how LA changes, about gentrification, and also about, you know, kind of like neighborhood memories. You know, one of the things, you know, early on when I started to get some work published was a lot of my friends that I knew, you know, because of social media from elementary school, you know, I took pictures of Hollywood. Like, I went to Vine Street, which is right over by Santa Monica and Vine. Like, you know, so, like, I would go back to my old neighborhood, and that's where I started, you know, taking pictures of my old apartments, the old places me and my friends used to hang out. And I really liked the response that I got from the people that I went to elementary school with. Like, that was, like, my most valuable response. Like, people would be like, oh, I totally remember that car wash, and it's gone. Like, the car wash is totally gone. Like, all these places don't exist anymore. And so I wanted to bring that feeling or a little bit of that into the project. So I thought while I was looking up libraries, a man named James Sherman, who works for the library, gave me a ton of information about just the history of libraries and about, you know, where some of them used to be located. And he gave me a list from 1920 of all of the old library addresses. And so I just looked at them, and I looked them up, and I saw that some of the buildings were still there. And I wanted to kind of depict what happens. You know, most of my project is about the good and how libraries positively influence neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show what it looked like when they were extracted. You know, what kind of hole, like, a library not being there anymore leaves. And that's kind of why I included those pictures in my bigger project.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a cool evolution.
Yeah. So,
same for you, River.
Yeah, same for you, River.
Sorry, could you repeat the question for me one more time?
I just
listen to Quasi's response. It was wonderful.
Oh, sorry, that's me.
Yes.
I know. That's my name. What did you hope to accomplish when you started out, and what did you discover now that you've completed the residency?
Okay. Well, I hoped to, when I first started out, I wanted to make something that spoke to... oh, wow, I don't even know where to start. I guess I wanted to make something that spoke to, like, the temporality of the library's locations, the connections they have to the communities that they're in, the people that frequent these places, and even my own experience just being there and being immersed in the library setting. So I wanted to make something that visually captured that, but also tied into the traditional history of the land, the Tongva people that are from here, that are still here today. So wanted to make something that spoke to all of these things simultaneously. At first, started off like totally different idea. I wanted to do like some installation work and mm-hmm. things along those lines, but I guess eventually gravitated towards like making like a body of paintings that captured this. And it happened organically. Like, I had a rough idea of like certain locations after looking across all the branches that I wanted to hit, like things of familial importance, mm-hmm. my own connection, but also as I was driving across the city, like going to these different locations, stopping by different branches and getting to just be there and seeing what these spaces were like was really inspiring as well. So yeah, I think like as the paintings and the work develop, they all kind of capture like certain elements of like archival information that dates back to, you know, older things for the libraries, the libraries themselves, but also this integration of like traditional artwork and like traditional notions of the land, Tongva language bits and stuff like that. So yeah, that's kind of what I guess at first felt very ambitious, but trying to reel myself in with something that will speak to the different communities that these libraries are in.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we talked about this back there, but
As you're working on pieces, do you find that you work on one at a time, or do you kind of have the work spread out in a way so you're kind of always working on different things at different times?
Yeah, my process is definitely working across multiple works of art at one time. I find it easier because at times, like, you're just sometimes just waiting for paint to dry, or ideas don't always work out the way I initially planned them to. So I think as I've developed my painting praxis, like, I've learned to become patient, and like working across several works of art at one time helps me with that. Yeah. And then also, like, just depending on the materials that I'm using too, like a lot of mixed media. So sometimes I'll do certain recurring imagery across multiple pieces. So there's like recurring elements as well. So it's nice to be able to do those things at one time, but also just to be able to take a break and like step away and look at things and make sure that they're developing the way that I like them to.
Yeah, for sure. And then Quasi, for you, as you're going from branch to branch, you know, are you kind of having things in mind with each branch, or are you just kind of open for the photograph to reveal itself, or the image, or kind of how you want to land on the theme that you're looking for?
You know, for me, it really is a matter of just kind of going and seeing what's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of how I approach like all my photo work. I kind of have a loose outline of like, okay, I'm going here, but I don't really know what I'm walking into. Uh-huh. And I think that's really, it's really helpful for me because it allows me to be present. And a lot of times I just go and things, you know, occur to me, but then afterwards, you know, with some time or with some reflection or just looking at like, you know, all of the work together, you can kind of extract some narratives from there, and kind of, you see things that, you know, maybe even subconsciously you weren't necessarily catching, but right. Then the theme is there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's cool. Thank you.
So it's,
yeah.
So I have a two-part question. You know, I'm a chatter. So how did you land on the projects that you eventually wound up doing? And if you can share a little bit about the process, we've been going through this, you know, continuously through this conversation. And then secondly, what was your reaction when you saw the other person's work? Thoughts and feelings on that? So yeah exactly, because your projects are completely different. And they're both are amazing. So,
yeah.
So River first.
Sure.
There you go.
Let's see. I landed on that just by, well, it first began with visiting different branches of interest and starting to make like initial sketches and studies, and then really liking where those were going. And like, okay, these can become paintings. I knew there were certain conceptual points I wanted to hit in terms of like going digging through the archives, finding like photos and stuff that makes sense. That speak to all the branches as like in the LA Public Library system as a whole, but also finding things that are like very temporally specific to each branch, mm-hmm. and finding things of interest. So it kind of came through that, just being there, like spending time sketching and drawing, like I mentioned, and just kind of letting those ideas develop. And that's how it became like, oh, I can envision this becoming a series of paintings that that are cohesive and speak to one another. And just impressed. I had no idea really what to expect. I know we both started off with like very, very different ideas. And we were first talking about what we wanted to do. And the work is just so beautiful. I had a chance to get a sneak peek after everything was framed. And I don't know, it's just amazing. And then being able to see it all come cohesively and into a zine that people can take home, I think is like one of the things that I enjoy the most about Quasi's work. I love that people can take these things home and have something to cherish and look back on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sure. Make sure to pick one up.
No, it honestly, like we were kind of talking about it a little bit, but yeah, the beginning, I remember when I sent in a draft to, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm like, I don't know if I did that at all. I did. I mean, maybe loosely, like, you know, but I mean, that was kind of the thing. Like, I didn't, you know, one of the things that I thought about a lot when I first got approached with it was, you know, as someone who normally, you know, photographs things like outdoors and street and like spontaneous moments and stuff like that, like, how do I translate that, you know, or how can I kind of, you know, apply that to this project? And so it took a little bit for me to kind of find a groove, you know. But the more I, I found that the more I went to each library, I started with the Baldwin Hills Library and then it was the Chinatown Library. Like the more I got into the rhythm of going to the libraries and speaking to the librarians and speaking to the staff and just really kind of like, getting comfortable in just doing that, the more the project kind of came out. Like, I actually went back to photograph the Baldwin Hills Library because that was my first one. And so when I went there, I had a certain idea. But after I photographed several other libraries, I was like, oh, I need to go back now that I have this experience and like this rhythm of photographing the libraries to go back there and get really the shots that I want. So that was kind of my process and how I got to it. And like I said, the library zine was just me just traversing the city back and forth. And I was just like, can I do this in 2 months? And I was like, I can, and it was kind of madness. Also like the first time that I saw, I also got a sneak peek of River's work Unframed. When we got a chance, so I got a chance to actually like have it on the table and like stare and like really like look at like the details. And it was really, I really like the strong use of like typography. I'm a graphic designer, like outside of here, so it's just like that's something that really resonates with me. But like the strong use of typography and texture, mm-hmm. it really just kind of in just like a smooth, like cohesive, like sophisticated way. Like not like, oh look, here's a letter, but like this is like a vision, like mm-hmm. and like how they all kind of like interrelate with each other but stand alone. So yeah, I mean, River's work, I was not really expecting. I didn't have an expectation, and so like honestly, like it really kind of blew my mind. It's an amazing series of work.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, I think we have a couple of slides we're going to show now, a couple of samples. So if you could talk about the art pieces we're going to show, as well as any general thoughts about the process of creating them. I think we have a handful.
Yeah, so this first slide, one of the paintings is based off the Playa Vista branch. Like traditionally, that's where my mother's side of the family, our Tongva side, is where we're from, which is also known as the village of Washna. So I specifically chose this branch for that reason, because this is where my ancestors are from. So I wanted to make something that's temporally specific, but also captures like the historical elements, traditional elements, but also the contemporary side, what the branches look like now.
Okay.
So here's a front shot of the branch that I took. Clearly you could tell I'm not a photographer with this crazy angle.
I mean, the framing is okay. You got the words in.
Yeah. But
see the library.
Yeah. But I think took this photo really focusing on like the text and typography and the signage in front of the branch.
Right.
And I eventually turned this photo into a screen print that is on the painting. Can you go to the next slide, please? And so here is the painting for the Playa Vista Washington branch.
It's all right.
Thank you.
It's cool.
Yeah, so in this image is like a mixture of lettering, iconography. You see like the LA Public Library symbol. There's like also, I spent a lot of time looking through the archives. There's a lot of like book plates and things like that, these older archival stuff. That's like a big part of the work that I make, is drawing on historical archival imagery and then contemporary stuff. So I think it's really, I see it as a mixture of both contemporary experience and drawing on the past as well. And then mixed into the imagery as well is like very much inspired by traditional arts and crafts like basketry, petroglyphs, pictographs. So those older ancestral traditional forms of art are really big in what I do and the aesthetics I'm trying to show and articulate. So yeah, there's a lot of layers. I think that really draws on my attraction to like graffiti and street art. When you look at the walls across LA, some of the ones that are like painted frequently, they have this like really thick, dense texture. And a lot of the times there's like things peeking through, and I've always really loved that. And I love the idea of like being able to come back and look at these paintings and find different things with each viewing. Mm-hmm. Can you go to the next slide, please? Yeah, and so here's some baskets that I drew inspiration from. Those are some like baskets that my mom made to the left. In the basket to the right is in the Gene Autry Museum. So again, drawing on these traditional art forms and infusing them with my own practice and what I do today. Thank you.
Yeah, cool, thank you. The next slides, please.
oh, hey, that's mine.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah. You both get a chance to shine.
Yes.
Basically, I mean, this photograph is from the Vermont Square branch over in South LA. And the Vermont Square branch is really a branch that, like, I just was fascinated with from the moment I discovered it existed, because I had not heard of it. It's one of the oldest LAPL branches. It is a Carnegie branch. It is definitely, like, if you were to think of a library in, like, the most cinematic term, it is that library. Like, it's the library you see in, like, a movie. Like, it's, and, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to capture when I went to photograph it, aside from the exterior, was the light. Because in a building like that, they were built in a certain way for light to come in. I mean, you know, this was before a lot of the things that we, you know, take advantage, you know, to keep areas lit were really made. And, like, you know, sunlight just comes into this branch in just such a magic way. And, like, I felt like this picture and a lot of the images that I captured, you know, it was all natural light, and it was really able to kind of convey that sense it comes in. It's just really beautiful, and it's really, like, calm and, like, quiet and, like, inspirational. So that was pretty much my goal with my interior work at the Vermont Square branch. Next slide. this is actually outside. You can go there now.
nice and clean.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, this, you know, Central Library is one of those places where, you know, I worked downtown. I worked at a school fit 'em, which is walking distance from here. And one of the things that I did when I worked there was I would take my lunch break, and I would eat my lunch before I would have a lunch break. I would just eat at my desk, and then I would take my lunch break, and I would just walk around and take pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and so this was, Central Library was someplace that was accessible for my old job, but it's just another one of those moments of peace. And, like, I don't know if that's something that, you know, I say a lot, but I've always looked for a sense of quiet in my photographs, because people don't normally associate that with the city, and they don't normally associate that with Los Angeles specifically, but, you know, there's always these moments of quiet, these moments of clarity, and to me, like, that's when, like, good thoughts come. And so, like, when I saw this, it just really kind of struck me as like, you know, this light was perfect at this place at this time, and, like, it really captured what I felt, you know, the best of, like, a library kind of experience could be. and then next slide, or questions, or sorry.
I do have a question.
Okay.
You have a question?
I do have a question.
All right. Do you want to ask it?
Yeah. Well, no. So we have these wonderful pictures, your wonderful drawings. So which pieces of art or pictures didn't make the cut? Okay.
Oh. Which ones did not make the cut?
Didn't make the cut. My branch made the cut.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, Shirley. It's not Shirley shine time.
Well, you know, her branch, the Memorial Branch, is one of the most beautiful branches. I'm just going to go ahead and plug that. One of the things that I did try to do with the branches that I selected, which was to get branches that were newer branches and branches that were older branches, because that's kind of like a division that you kind of see a little bit. And that's actually a pretty good transition from the two photos I just had. The previous one was from Vermont Square. And this is the Chinatown branch, which is newer. I mean, it's not like, I don't know if it's the newest, but it is a modern branch. For each branch, I probably took 12 to 1,500 shots.
Wow.
Wow.
And
dang.
I have 70 in total in the book.
Yeah.
So, a lot didn't make the cut. But the thing is, it's not really like a cut. In that respect, it's like, it was really, you know, one of the most challenging things, especially for the book project, was writing about each library and kind of tying a common experience, you know, or a common sort of format that I could apply to presenting each library. And that was the hardest part about editing, you know, thousands of pictures down to 70, which was, you know, there in each, there were so many different ways that you can go. Basically, it's hard to call it a cut, but definitely the pictures that I chose that are in the book represent the best of it. But also, even of those pictures of the set of, you know, that I whittled down, I had to whittle it down even more because half of them are pictures of the neighborhood surrounding the library. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I, even within that, like I really had to kind of, you know, cut out even more of the library and just really be strategic about what elements I wanted to bring to the fore and stuff like that. So all of them made the cut, but it just depends on what movie you were making. Like, you know, so that's how I could phrase it. And this slide, you know, I really like this slide of this picture of the Chinatown Library because it kind of encompasses, you know, what I was trying to accomplish with the work and with presenting the neighborhood and the library in context of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that a lot the branches that I covered and, you know, libraries in general are, you know, it depends on the history of them, where they're positioned in the neighborhood and their relation to it. But the Chinatown branch is pretty much like in the heart of Chinatown. It's literally surrounded by housing, it's surrounded by businesses, there's a park in the back. It's very tightly integrated into the community. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing. And also, it's next to a hill. So there's like a lot of different angles you can catch that really you can capture like the whole thing in a shot. Mm-hmm. So like that's what I like the most about this picture in general.
Thank you.
Well, and River, can you talk about your work? Like, I don't know how it is with mixed media, but like in the process of creating things, are there things that you're like, no, this isn't quite working? And
yeah, absolutely. So I definitely was ambitious and started to wanted to do, I think, like 10 branches at first. paintings. And kind of whittled it down like the time and what I was capable of and like the scale too, because I
for
wanted
sure,
to do like a
yeah.
really large scale paintings. And I think what a lot of like the had to cut out was a lot of like photos that I took during my travels to the different branches, and also archival photos that I found really interesting because there's like a database that you can have that has photos of all the branches. So
right.
I found so many things of interest. Started with a really, really broad or a really large assortment of photos
right.
And archival information that I wanted to choose from, and then just had to whittle that down to something that was cohesive and find the elements that indeed spoke to the branches themselves specifically, but also like collectively as a whole. So
yeah.
it was hard. And there's like studies that I made too that look totally different from the painting. So it was like interesting to see how like they began in like, in like the ideation phase and what I wanted to incorporate and how that kind of just changed organically and developed.
And I wonder for the both of you, if the time crunch element also precipitated like, all right, I better stop thinking and like produce the thing.
Absolutely. It was hard, but I mean, mm-hmm. I think we were both ambitious with our projects. We were able to get it done in time. I don't know. It was like
for sure
had to ground myself along the way. Like, okay, let me really focus on what I can get done and make something that I feel is meaningful and that I love.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, there was definitely a time during the project, especially with the library zine, because that was like an extra one. Like that wasn't like part of the initial one. I was like, oh, I can just do this. And like there was a time where I was just like, I don't know if that was a good idea.
Whoops! Like,
it was, but I mean, I can really relate to the whole. You have these ideas, and then you have to kind of like, you know, as the clock ticks, you do have to kind of ground it a little bit, but push yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
Like it's a balance
for sure.
Definitely.
Well, we just have about a few minutes left, so we're just going to land on some final thoughts, and if we have some time, we'll try and take some audience questions afterwards. So, River, can you speak to the importance of land and how you try to incorporate it into your art, and does the theme vary from piece to piece, as well as kind of any final thoughts about your artwork in general?
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. I think the notion of the land, our relationship to it as Indigenous people, as people in general, it's incredibly important. It definitely informs a lot of my work. Like I kind of mentioned, a lot of these paintings, I view them as like temporally informed. So like being there inspired their like the production of imagery and what is conceptually included in them as well. But yeah, I think it's important to talk about these things, like in a historical sense, but in a contemporary sense of who was there then and who lives and occupies these spaces now.
Yeah, and it really comes through. Thank you very much.
Just
beautiful.
My last final thoughts, just want to express my immense gratitude. I'm extremely humbled to have this opportunity and grateful for Todd and Christine and all the library staff supporting me along this way to develop my ideas and help them come into fruition. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Yeah. Can I speak to Clausies?
Thank you.
Sorry.
So Kwazi, not only did you include the library branches in your photo, you also included the surrounding areas. Would you like to talk more about that and your final thoughts about the project that you created? It wasn't what you turned initially focused on, but you turned it into something else.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, neighborhoods are just really important to me, and that's kind of the way that I relate to Los Angeles and the way that I can really describe it. You know, I'm kind of loyal to, in a lot of ways, the areas that I grew up in, and honestly, like, going back and photographing them as they've changed over years has been really one of the main things that has not only driven my work, but I found, you know, some success in, like, you know, like that is, you know, presenting LA from a local perspective and from the perspective of someone who isn't just visiting, or, you know, who has like a stake in the places that I photograph has always been really important for me. And libraries have always been like a natural extension of that. You know, like I said, you know, the John C. Fremont Library, I mean, I used to walk there after school. My mom would pick me up. You know, after she got off work, it was a safe place for me to stay. And, you know, every day when I would walk there, I'd walk part of the way with my friends, and then I would just kind of walk through the neighborhood. And, like, you know, that's when I started seeing things. That's when I started noticing just, like, the like life and, like, rhythms and, you know, daily interactions that I think that are really important to, you know who we are as people and, like, what Los Angeles is as a city. So, like, that's kind of, mm-hmm. you know how neighborhoods and the surrounding areas relate to my work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, almost every project that I come up with starts one way and completely turns out another way. And I think that's, like, the best thing about art and creativity in general. You know, I try not to be rigid. And I try, you know, not to be too, you know, not to stick too much to whatever my initial plan may have been, because, you know, a lot of ways, you know, what you come up with in a moment can really add something and really activate an idea for you. And that's how I feel about photography in general. That's why I don't really set out with an agenda. Mm-hmm. When I go take pictures, if I'm doing, like, street photography, or if I'm just photographing a neighborhood, I just know where I'm going. I just park my car where I can find parking. and you know, and literally I just walk, and, like, you know, things kind of happen, and you take pictures of them, and you know, sometimes, you know, your perspective on how you see what's happening in front of you, you know, definitely informs what you choose to present to the world. But I feel like that's part of being, you know, from a certain place and having a certain perspective and having a certain identity. Like, that's what I project, and, like, that's what I like to present.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
For sure. So we're gonna end on this last question. What's next for the both of you? Future projects? I tricked you. No, but I mean, you know, or if you just kind of open to whatever too, that's fine.
I think next we'll be focusing on making a new body of installation work. This project definitely took up a good chunk of the year, and we spent a lot of time painting, so I want to spend some time working on some installation pieces.
Oh,
that's
gotcha.
What's next.
Yeah.
I took a lot of pictures this year, so I think that I'm kind of done with like major photo projects, but I want to get back to just kind of taking pictures for no reason, because that's where everything comes for me. You know what I mean? You know, next year I do sell zines and books and stuff, you know, and so, like, I'll continue making those, and I have some design things that I have, you know, lined up that I'd like to try next year. But for the rest of this year, I think I'm just going to take my small camera and just, like, kind of wander, maybe, mm-hmm. and just kind of see what's out there.
Okay. Cool. I think we have time for one or two questions. One question, Todd? We're good? Okay. Well, then I think we're going to conclude it.
I think we have one question.
Wait, we can't? One question?
Oh.
Okay. Whoever has a question, are they going to wait for a microphone?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, microphone is coming down the way. All right, we have time for some questions. All right, this gentleman.
Thanks for sharing. Question to the two of you. How did your work before you started this project affect the project, and how will this project affect your work after?
Oh, good one. Well done.
Oh, it's deep.
It's not a plant in the audience.
Yes.
I would say that my work before the project guided where the project ended up being. Because like I like I said, like it, you know, the bringing the neighborhood and things that weren't necessarily part of the library, but that I felt were associated with the experience of the library, were that was kind of what my work prior to this brought to it. Work after, I mean, honestly, this has been like a really great experience. And so like, I don't know how it will affect my work after, but I know that, I now know that I can work on something really big consistently over the course of more than a year and like be happy with the results, you know, and take like a large body of work and really kind of turn it into something that's like pretty specific. And so like that experience to me is new. So I think that will, you know, hopefully that'll help influence some larger scale things I have coming up in the future.
Oh, cool.
Great response. let's see. I think prior, I think a lot of like the aesthetics that I already paint in informed a lot of how this body of work turned out. And even like the process of like conducting research and spending time sifting through archival information and really trying to think through what I'm trying to articulate in these paintings showed through as a part of like my prior practice. And similar to Kwaza, I didn't reflect on it until now, but yeah, being able to work on a long-term project and have it be cohesive in the end, like start off with these like really ambitious, totally different ideas and being able to reel them in into something new that makes sense from where I started and where I'm finishing. And also with this project, I made a zine for the first time, so that was really fun and being able to experience that. Look forward to making more in the future and seeing where that goes.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Any other questions? Oh, we have one down here. Oh, sorry.
And then yes. Hi. I actually found out about the event today because a friend in Australia actually sent me some of Kwazi's work on social media. And,
wow.
And she said, "This is really cool. You should check this out." I was like, "You're absolutely right." And my question is that, you know, your work is very community-centric and focused on the role of libraries in Los Angeles. But I was wondering if you had anything to say to those who may not be familiar with the context of Los Angeles, but are still interested in your work.
Yeah, I would say that wherever you're at, I mean, this is, you know, my work is something that kind of is centered on LA, but, you know, funny, I'm actually publishing my first zine that has work outside of LA later this year because I've taken a lot of pictures outside of LA too. And it's like, I feel like wherever you're from or whatever kind of, you know, wherever you happen to be at, you can apply that sort of approach to. Whenever I photograph someplace that I'm not really familiar with, I'm a lot more humble and a lot less, I feel like a less authoritative about where I'm at. So like I kind of take it in, I take a step back. When I photograph LA, like there's a lot to it, and that's one sort of creativity. But whenever I'm not as used to a place, or it's not a place I'm from or familiar, like I photograph like New Orleans or like parts of New York that I'm not really familiar with. Sometimes it's really refreshing because you can kind of take a back seat and just kind of, you know, let everything kind of flow too. So I don't know if that answers your question, but you know, I would definitely say like wherever you're at, just kind of you know, adopt your scope or your vision to what you're trying to interpret, but you know, just let it come to you. I guess that's kind of like the easiest way I can say it.
One last question.
Yeah.
This young lady.
I think there are two down there.
Yes.
Or just one.
Thank y'all so much for sharing with us today. I had a question for y'all. You've done a lot of research. What is the coolest thing you learned about the library in this experience? Or the city in general.
I think the coolest thing I learned about was all the different services that are available for people to use. There's so many things for free. And I think an important thing that came up is like the notion of access and here and the library being a point of access for all people. And yeah, I think that was great. Like just all the services that are here and available and across all these different branches. I think that was the most compelling thing for sure.
Yeah, I honestly would probably agree. You know, every library that I went to just, you know, approaches how they serve their patrons in a really different way, and it kind of blew my mind how specific it was, and how thorough and free. You know, I mean, you know, it's just a great place to you know, to assist the people that live around it. So yeah, I would agree. Like, the how much of a library isn't a library, but a community center is probably like the best way. The thing I learned the most.
All right, great answer. Thank you. Yeah. And I think we're gonna wait one more.
That's my mom.
Okay. Well, we gotta yeah. let mom ask the question.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
This question is for Kwazi.
Oh,
that's you.
Kwazi.
Yes.
Now that you're here today, mm-hmm. and you're on the panel, mm-hmm. and everyone is listening to you, mm-hmm. and how much you love the library and have mm-hmm. always loved the library. Mm-hmm. Do you appreciate that summer reading program that I took to you?
Read books, earn points.
Yes.
It's for all, okay. by the way, not just kids.
Yes, I do, Mom. Thank you.
All right. So I think,
okay,
I
just
think we're
checking.
Gonna, I don't think of a better note to end it on. So,
yeah, me too.
Okay, so I would like to say thank you so much for joining us today, creators yeah. in residence. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, you guys can safely exit off the stage.
Thank you.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah. They have to go get prepared for the hands-on activity that will be outside in the courtyard. So if you want to join in a few minutes. And
yes.
Thank you so much for joining us for today.
Okay.
And have a great rest of your day.
Okay,
thank you again.
Thank you very much. Thank you, patrons.
Aloud is made possible by the Hearst Foundation, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the Los Angeles County Department of Arts and Culture, Errant Fox, City National Bank, the Los Angeles Public Library, and additional generous supporters of the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. To support programs like this, become a member at lfla.org.